So this psalm then, Psalm 121, it's got a really special place in the hearts of so many in the Dale. And it's had a very special place in my heart since I was a young lad starting secondary school in Hull, Mallet Lambert School in Hull. And we had a German headmaster called Franz Gruh. And Herr Gruh had fought with Rommel as a member of the Afrika Corps in World War II. And he would tell us that every morning, every night, he would say this psalm. And then as headmaster, he gathered the whole school together. And at the beginning of every school year, he read these words to us. He read these words over us. And I'm just one of those who's been influenced and affected by that during that time. The psalm itself is labelled a song of ascent. So it was probably sung by pilgrims or said by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem on pilgrimage. And they would be approaching the city and they'd see these great hills that were coming around Jerusalem, kind of wrapping their arms around the city. And they would sing and they would pray this on their journey. And it's a great psalm for a journey. And in fact, many Jews often say that before they leave the house or they go on a journey, they will say the words of Psalm 121. It's great words for a journey. And we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're all on a journey together, journey of life, which will end meeting God. That journey that takes us on our way. And it's a wonderful psalm in so many different ways, but also because it's actually really quite easy to learn and to commit it to heart. And can I encourage you again that you take bits of scripture and you learn them by heart? Psalm 121 is a great place to start. Maybe it's a Lenten project for you over the next few weeks in Lent. Take a bit of scripture, learn it by heart, because I can promise you there will come a time in your life when you'll be really grateful that you have and that you can call on that you've learned and apply it to the situation that you're facing at that time. But Psalm 121, then it tells us some really important truths about the nature and the character of God. That he is our helper, that he is our protector, and that he is our guide. And the Bible picks up on these truths right the way through Scripture. It keeps supporting those truths about God himself. And the psalmist, as the psalmist is writing these words, they're not just words to him. He knows them to be true. And he's speaking from that personal reference point. And you know, when we take that step of faith and we know God for ourselves, words lift up off the page, don't they? And they become alive to us because we know, because we know, because we know the truth of what they're saying to us about that nature and that character of God. And so those opening verses then, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? I wonder what is the first port of call? What is the first thing you do? What's the first thing you think of doing when you face a challenge or a problem? I mean, we've had our problems and our challenges this week. There were things that I did instinctively, and then I picked up the phone and got on with stuff that I know I needed to do as well, you know, to do with our break-in here. But what is it that you do? What's the first thing that you do when you face times of trouble? We are really blessed in this place where we live at the moment, so far away from the nearest hospital. We are really blessed by the skill and the dedication of first responders. And I know that so many of you have been grateful to them being on site and being on spot with you really swiftly. But you know that we are all called to be first responders. but first responders in prayer. The faithful are all called to be first responders in prayer. That the first thing we think of doing is, I need God's help. And we lift our eyes to him and ask for his help. But you know, the world keeps saying, we need to look toward human things. You know, look for the human things that give the protection and provide that support. But no, my help comes from the Lord. The psalmist is looking at these amazing hills and mountains wrapping around Jerusalem, and they protected Jerusalem in so many different ways. Protection from the weather and the elements, protection from enemies. But he says, no, I know that they look strong and they look great, but actually, nothing in comparison to God, where I need to put my focus and asking him for help. He will not let your foot slip, he says. He will not let your foot slip. Now, I know also that many of you have had unfortunate slips in recent days. Some very recent days. Yeah? We've had those. It's really unnerving, isn't it? When the floor beneath you just seems to feel real unstable and you're going and everything seems to go in slow motion. Before we got here, I'd had an experience like that. I'd fallen out of a tree. I was standing on a branch. I thought the branch was really substantial, would take my weight, and it didn't. It cracked and I fell over 20 foot and fractured my pelvis. And it hurts, doesn't it, Vera? It really hurts when something like that happens. Yeah, but he's saying there, look, the Lord will not let your foot slip. What does that mean? Again, in the world, we're encouraged to put our faith in so many different things, like our health or our wealth, our bank balances, or what we own. But we know, don't we, especially over the recent years or so, how fragile those things are. How quickly situation can change. And folks who've put all their attention and all their security in those kind of worldly elements suddenly can feel incredibly vulnerable and lost. But the psalmist is reminding us that when we build our life upon the Lord, then we are building our life upon something solid that will not give way, that will not let us down, that will not fail us. He will not let your foot slip. And then there's God as our protector. He who watches over you will not slumber. I wonder how many of you have ever had that experience of working a night shift. You can get yourselves into a bit of a rhythm with it, but when you're on a quick turnaround, and your sleep patterns have been very swiftly rearranged, it can be such a struggle, can't it, not to start to nod off. Really difficult. But here the psalmist is saying, he will not slumber. He will not sleep. God is never asleep. Hallelujah. He's always awake. He's always there for us. Any time, any place, anywhere. Cue for a song there, isn't there? And if you joined in, if you thought of the next line, it shows your age, isn't it? But he's always there for us. He never moves away. He's always awake. The fact that God is always awake means that we don't need to be. Isn't that wonderful? The fact that the Lord never sleeps means that we are free to. There have been so many occasions, I've lost count of the occasions, when on a night I'm trying to get to sleep and all the business of the day is just going round and round and round in my head, and I can't rest. And so it's a case of, like we were talking about the other month, but I'm going to cast my burdens onto you, Lord. Lord, I need to sleep. You don't. So I'm giving you this, please. I need to hand this over to you. I need my rest so I can wake up refreshed. Would you take this from me as I give it to you now and bless me with your gift of peace? And the next morning we're up and we're on our way again. What about the Lord is your shade at your right hand? He's talking about how close God is to us. So close to us. Always there. I remember hearing the American Bible teacher Joyce Meyer saying, the Lord is only one breath away from us. He's only ever one breath away, because all we need to do is come before him in prayer. He is there. He's your shade at your right hand. What does that mean? It means he's close. He's close to us. He's always there. What we've got to do is to make the decision to come alongside and to walk our lives with him. When the psalmist was writing, and he talks about the sun will not harm you by day, the moon by night. At the time the psalmist was writing, the sun represented everything physical, everything temporal, and the moon represented everything spiritual. So he's saying, when your trust is in the Lord, when you know God for yourself, nothing in this world or the next can truly harm you. Wonderful. Wonderful promise. And over the 40 odd years or so that I've been walking as a disciple of Christ, I have come to realize the truth behind that. I've come to know that actually no problem, no challenge, no situation can be ever big enough for Jesus Christ not being the answer. The Lord is there, close by our side. And Paul in Romans 8 reminds us, says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can. And then to close, God as our guide. It's only the Lord God who will guide us through this world into the next. The Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord is there at the beginning. The Lord God will be there at the end. Hallelujah is also in all the squidgy bits that lie between those two markers. And folks, right now, we're living in the squidgy bits, right? Between those two markers. But he is there with us. He's there. He's not going anywhere. He's there for us to come up alongside. Knowing him is everything. And that's what the psalmist behind 121 is communicating to us. Knowing God is everything. Is crucial to us. The way we live our lives now and the hope and the promise that there is for the future. So whatever you're living with today, whether you're living with regret or whether you're living with fear or worry or whether you're living with doubt, God's there. You see, regret looks back. Fear and worry look around. Doubt looks in. Faith looks up. I look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And you've heard me say this before as well. Crown on, head up. Because when your head's up, your crown won't fall off. And it won't slip. Faith looks up. God cares for us. He provides for us. He guides us. He protects us. And folks, I know that many of you right now are carrying significant burdens. I know that you've got concerns about health, about future, about homes and housing, about employment, about relationships. I know you have those things and you are carrying those things. But God says, look to me. Because I'm your help and I'm your protector and I'm your guide. Trust in me. And when we trust in the Lord and take him at his word and we see how he helps and he supports, our faith grows. It's a muscle and it needs exercising. And the more we use it, the stronger we get. So let's lift our eyes to the Lord.